From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, August 13th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Maine regulators have rejected a proposal that would have allowed utilities to report high electricity usage to law enforcement as a potential sign of illegal cannabis grow operations. The proposed measure came at the suggestion of Versant Power, which says it has a high success rate in identifying illegal marijuana grows around Maine. But company officials say they can't notify law enforcement unless they're issued a subpoena. Versant says it's fielded subpoenas for at least 50 suspected locations so far. But the Public Utilities Commission said on Tuesday that the proposal would violate customer privacy, and Commissioner Patrick Scully says that it should be up to law enforcement to identify suspected illegal activities.
I do not believe it's the role of a utility to make such reports on its own initiative, and I would be concerned that reports based solely on usage could expose customers engaged in lawful activities to criminal investigations.
The state's public utility advocate and Central Maine Power also opposed the measure. The proposal was part of a broader package of rule changes that regulators otherwise approved. Voters in Maine can now request their absentee ballot for the general election this November. State law allows voters to request ballots 3 months before Election Day. Nick Song has more.
Maine offers no excuse absentee voting, meaning it's open to anyone. Mail-in ballots won't be sent to voters until early October, 30 days prior to Election Day. Secretary of State Shenna Bellows says the process includes safeguards to ensure fairness and transparency.
Every absentee ballot must be returned in its absentee ballot return envelope that is signed by the voter and indeed has the information of the voter on that envelope. That's a safeguard for clerks to be able to check those returned ballots against the valid requests.
Bellows adds that voters can use the state's online absentee ballot tracker to determine whether their ballot has arrived and been accepted by election clerks. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
Meanwhile, a Topsom resident has withdrawn his challenge to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s petition to qualify for Maine's presidential ballot. James Stretch submitted the challenge last week, alleging that Kennedy's ballot petition contained numerous errors, including incomplete dates and signers who aren't Maine residents. But the Maine Secretary of State's office announced on Tuesday that Stretch had withdrawn the challenge. A hearing on two challenges to Cornell West's ballot petition is scheduled for Wednesday afternoon. And a statewide network that provides biomedical training to college students is expanding through a new $19 million federal grant. The network, known as Maine INBRI, supplies equipment, research, and training to hundreds of students across more than a dozen institutions. The new grant will renew the program and add USM, the University of Maine at Augusta, and the Maine Health Institute for Research. MDI Biological Laboratory President Herman Haller says one goal is to reach out to underserved communities and hold listening tours to discuss their specific health concerns.
We are reaching out to different populations, so we try to be diverse, and that's part of the INBRI. But it also helps us to be better in science, because a diverse research group is better.
Several other UMaine System campuses are already in the network, as well as Colby, Bates, and Bowdoin Colleges. This summer, a nursing home that had been a fixture in the small downeast community of Millbridge for nearly 50 years shut its doors. It's one of the more than two dozen closures in Maine over the past decade. Each loss presents the challenge of relocating residents amidst an ever-dwindling number of beds. And the problem is compounded in rural areas. Patty White reports.
a month after Narragansett Bay Healthcare announced its plan to close. Nearly all of its 46 residents had been relocated. Only one remained. And early on a Monday morning, an ambulance crew arrived to transport her to another facility in Belfast, more than an hour away.
Okay, so we're going to slide you from this bed to this bed, okay?
The crew wheels her out on a stretcher down a bare hallway that, not long ago, was decorated with artwork and photos. It's the last of many goodbyes, and it hasn't been easy, says housekeeping supervisor Cindy Roganback.
Those people were my family. And I'm losing my second home that meant a lot to me.
Roganback cleans out a fridge, tossing tuna sandwiches, mac and cheese, and salad dressing into the trash. Fellow housekeeper Robert Prescott says he'll also miss the place.
This is probably one of the better jobs I've had for feeling good about yourself. A lot of people go home from work and hate their job. You'd make people happy here some days.
26 nursing homes in Maine have closed over the past decade. And as the numbers shrink, it's becoming harder to relocate residents within 60 miles, which state regulations call for.
That really is the goal, is that you want to place people not more than 60 miles away.
Brenda Gallant is Maine's long-term care ombudsman, who advocates for residents of long-term care facilities.
Sometimes that's impossible if you can't find a provider that has an open bed or there's a facility that can't meet the resident needs.
That was the case for John Drawlett. He was relocated from Narragansett Bay Healthcare nearly 3 hours away to Lewiston.
Don't get your hopes up. They're going to find you a place as like they say they are, because right now they're dwindling fast.
More than 2 months after he moved, his longtime partner, Kathy Parsons, hasn't been able to visit. They have to rely on phone calls.
Having him so far away is awful.
Parsons says they were blindsided by the closure of Narragansett Bay, and it was made even worse because they felt they had no options.
They were like, well, this is all we got. Well, we had no say in it. None. It wasn't even a conversation. It was just, this is what's going to happen.
Beyond the hardship of a long drive, Gallant, the long-term care ombudsman, says relocating can be traumatic for residents.
And they can suffer from relocation stress. They can have a decline in condition, increase in falls, depression, many studies that document this.
Closures are happening across the U.S., but a recent report from the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston found that the rate of nursing home closures in New England is 3 times the national rate, and Maine had the highest percent of closures in the region. The report also found that from 2022 to 2023, more than half of facilities in each New England state operated at a loss.
The last 2 years have been awful.
Dr. Steve Weisberger, who owned Narragansett Bay Healthcare for 30 years, says the real trouble started with a staffing crisis during the pandemic. He was forced to use agencies that provided travel nurses at a much higher cost, and that never changed.
The way it was going, we were going to have almost $1 million loss this year.
Maine has made efforts to train more direct care workers and boost their pay, which currently must be at least 125% of the minimum wage. But the Maine Healthcare Association, which represents nursing homes, says it's unclear whether state efforts will be enough to prevent more closures. And that means more residents will likely have to relocate, sometimes several times.
My dad is not having a good end of life.
Samantha Jones of Blue Hill had already moved her father from another facility into Narragansett Bay earlier this year. He had only been there for 10 weeks when they announced that it was closing.
The idea of moving him again, it feels unconscionable. Like, why would you do that to a healthy person, let alone, you know, a person who has memory problems?
Each move, Jones says, is like starting over, and she has to advocate for him all over again. After spending his life as a teacher and giving to the community, she says, it's not fair that her dad keeps losing his. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, we'll talk about the history of Social Security and proposals to keep it solvent for future generations. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.